You're listening to Zen Crossing, where spirituality meets everyday life, with your host, Koshin Chris Kane, abbot of the Puget Sound Zen Center.
Today, I'll be talking with Aaron Durrett about the history and spirituality of chanting. I'm really looking forward to this. Aaron has a background in classical theater, medieval European, and early American voice music, and she's studying the development of vocal music in human prehistory right now. She's currently teaching classes in Gregorian chant and chants of the divine feminine through Vashon Allied Arts right here on the island, and is the director of music ministries at Holy Spirit Episcopal Church on Vashon Island. I still refer to Aaron as our Zen choir director now and then, because for a number of years she led the kids in our children's program in singing and chanting and did just such a wonderful job. I miss her, but our program's on Sundays, so she's got a real job there. Aaron, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Koshin.
How did you get interested in studying chanting of all things?
When I was in junior high, I was messing around in my little tiny Oklahoma junior high school library, and I came across a set of LP recordings called The History of Music and Sound. And the first track on the first album was a recording of Gregorian chant. Hmm. And from the second I heard it, it was really transformative for me. It was profoundly moving, and I knew that I was going to pursue it somehow. And, you know, I sang since I was a little tiny kid. And when I moved to Seattle, I was fortunate enough to basically the same time join both the Collegium Musicum, which is the study group for early music at the University of Washington, and the choir of St. James Cathedral, actually the Women's Schola of St. James Cathedral, which to this day sings Gregorian chant as part of the worship at the cathedral. And so I was able to study chant both from the academic and the worship experience points of view.
Okay. I wonder what makes something chanting as opposed to singing.
Chanting, no matter what tradition you are chanting in, whether it's Native American or Hindu or Buddhist or Christian, is a sacred activity. It's meant to bring you emotionally, physically, spiritually into a sacred frame of mind and a sacred space. And of course, singing can be anything. It can be sacred, it can be secular, it can have any nature, rhythmically, musically. But chant is really meant to draw our consciousness inward and help us understand the nature of the divine within ourselves and our human experience.
Mm. Yeah. What do you think chanting does for a person? What's the physiology of chanting? And I mean that spiritually. What does it do for the spiritual practice of a person, do you think?
Well, I think one of the things that I learned when you were first working with me at the Zen Center in Buddhist chanting that was so freeing, because I had been singing many different kinds of chant in many different contexts, but one of the strongest memories that I have of connecting the chant both physically and spiritually was when you were talking with me about how when you sing chant, you ring yourself like a bell, that it's meant to enliven, invigorate your body with breath and sound. The vibration of the sound wakes up your body and your consciousness, and that in itself can be an experience of the sacred. But if you continue and you allow your brain and your body to be fully enveloped in the process of chant and understand in your heart what it is you're chanting about, what it is you're singing to and from, then it becomes even more. It becomes a connection with the divine and an opening through the soul that is a direct connection with the divine.
Hmm. Yeah, there's no way for it not to be about breathing, is there?
No.
I mean, that is something that I've been very aware of in chanting, that it really connects you with your breathing, and it becomes, partly because of the breathing, a meditative practice.
Yes.
It repeats itself either in simple repetition or more complex, and it really can become a meditation. We're going to do a little bit of chanting in a minute. I meant to say that mm-hmm. at the top of the show. Most of the chants in the Zen tradition are monotone fairly well, but I guess the chanting in other traditions is not necessarily like that. There's all kinds of difference.
Yes, the Zen tradition that we practice at the Zen Center here is very vigorous. It's very vigorous rhythmically. Mm. It really exemplifies that idea of ringing yourself like a bell. You have to breathe to do it. You have to have that feeling of resonance in your whole body to do it. It's very invigorating. And other types of chant work with the consciousness and the body physiology in different ways. Hindu mantras are often very simple, repetitive, short phrases that are easy to sing if there's a leader singing it and everybody else sings it back as a call and response. Mm. There are call and response chants in just about every culture. And then in Christian chant, it's a whole nother world where the chants are really written on the biblical text. So the lines tend to be much longer. The ideas are much more complex and busy compared to Hindu and Buddhist chant. But there's also this wonderful opportunity for losing yourself and finding that state of metta consciousness and connection with the divine in Gregorian chant in its sort of ecstatic quality. Mm. Many people will be familiar with the chant of Hildegard von Bingen, which I think really exemplifies that kind of ecstatic experience.
You brought that in, didn't you?
I do think I have some Hildegard in my head that I could probably sing, yeah.
I know you brought in some things, so I'd love to get to that part of the show. Why don't you give us some examples?
One of the things that I had in mind was just to sing a little fragment of the chant Namo Kwan Shi Yin Pusa, which is a chant that is sung to Kuan Yin in order to thank her for being the compassionate one, the one who hears our sorrows and takes care of us. And I'll go from just singing that for a moment into singing the Christian chant to Mary, Ave Maria, Gratia plena, Dominus tecum, which is Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. So I'll just sing a little bit. Namo Kwan Shin Pusa. Namo Kwan Shin Pusa. Namo Kwan Shin Pusa. Ave Maria, gratia plena.
I'd love to hear some Gregorian chanting. Do you have some of that?
I do. The Gregorian tradition started in Europe when Gregory the Great was in power, and he made the decision that may have been for better or worse, that he would quell all of the individual little traditions of chant that existed in abbeys and monasteries and nunneries all over Europe, and that there would be one unified kind of chant for everybody. I'm going to sing a chant that is going to be sung very soon in the liturgies of the Christian Church, which is the Factus Est Repente, the chant for Pentecost, which is the holiday of the descent of the Holy Spirit from God and Jesus into the disciples so that they could carry it to all the nations of the earth. So the translation of this is, suddenly a sound came from heaven like the rush of a mighty wind, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Alleluia.
Factus est repente, dicilus unus, advenintis spiritus vehementis, ubi erant sedentes. Et repletis sunt omnes Spiritu Sancto, loquentes magnalia Dei.
Aaron, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.